What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 395, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing, with me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Your sleepy co-host Ryan, but it's not much.
Yeah, going on. Ryan used to get those little Starbucks espresso thingies. I haven't
seen. Yeah, I've got another tab pulled up here. I'm gonna just order them real quick here, and at some point, and we'll be.
Yeah, or you need to find like a new drink. You need to experiment with like a new.
Well,
energy.
I've got that Respawn mental focus gum that we got at CES from Razer. So
yeah. Put like 5 or 6 of those in there.
Just like, I won't be able to talk. I'll be able to talk, but I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, I used to like try new energy drinks every, you know, like I go to the store, I'd be like, oh, I'll try this one. But I've kind of kept to the same type of drinks lately. Maybe I need to try something different.
But you've dropped off of the energy drinks.
Like, well, yeah, I stopped. Well, I used to do like Monsters every day.
White
Monster, every day. And then. No, yeah, I got off the energy drinks, and I'll have an energy drink every once in a while, but mainly I do like right like in this thing, this little Gigabyte flask thing that we got at CES. It's just like BCAA energy.
You got that at CES. Supplement. I didn't get that at CES.
Oh, you didn't get one of these?
No.
Oh, it's pretty cool.
Drink up.
No, I gotta get hydrated, gotta get ready for the podcast.
Yeah, but exactly.
We already have some people in the chat. We have my buddy Corey's in the chat, and we have Old Man in the chat as well. Good to see you guys here. If you're in the chat, definitely say what's up. Also, if you are following along live or listening later, we do have our full show notes page. That has everything that we're going to be talking about this week, and there's a lot to talk about, some really cool products, some next-gen leaks and information, which is definitely nice to know, and some cool stuff we're doing with the site as well. So yeah, lots of stuff there. You guys can go ahead and follow along. We'll start out with reviews. And I took a look at this keyboard right here. And Ryan, surprise, it's still sitting in front of me. I'm still using it because I really like it.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And usually it gets swapped out, you know?
Yeah. Usually I always go back and
I
might still because I am missing a couple keys because this is a 65% keyboard. But I have to say that I'm really impressed with this keyboard. And I actually like learned a lot about keyboards doing this review as well, which is always fun too.
Okay.
So the keyboard that I'm talking about that I'm using currently is the Arbiter Studio Polar 65. And the big difference with this keyboard compared to other keyboards is that it's a magnetic keyboard. So I'm sure most of you are, you know, you're used to a, what's it called? A mechanical keyboard, right? So mechanical key switches. Yeah. We have seen the what's the one with the laser?
Corsair has some.
Yeah, but the what's it called?
The switch.
Yeah.
Oh.
The laser, whatever. There are the laser switches. Those are become
opticals.
Yeah, optical switches. We've seen those, but mostly mechanical switches. But now this is a magnetic switch or a magnetic keyboard, basically. Each switch or each one of your keys has a little magnet in it, and that magnet goes down into the PCB, and because it's a magnet, the PCB measures the reaction of how far it's going down and things like that. So basically that allows you to set your actual actuation point. And for those who don't know what an actuation point is, that is how far you press down before your computer recognizes that as a like a key press. You know what I mean? So, you know, a lot of the faster switches, the really fast gaming switches have like a really low actuation point. So it's like you basically just graze the key and it registers because you want that really, really fast keystroke. So one that gives you the ability to do that, and you can do that per key. So it allows you to really fine tune this keyboard to how you like, which is really, really awesome. But on top of that, it allows you to set to do a fast trigger or a continuous trigger, meaning that, so on a normal switch, when you press down, right, the on a mechanical switch, it has to come all the way back up before you can press it again for right. the for it to be registered, right? With this, you can press it down and you can just go up like a tiny bit and then repress it again. So you could, so it's faster and more fluid movement. If you're playing like a really fast paced game, like a Counter-Strike or like an Apex Legends, like we play, the movement is a lot more fluid. It's, you have to really experience it, but it gives you the ability to really like just fine tune your gameplay in fast paced games and get, you know, like just like with a mouse, like you want to be able to click this as fast as possible. You can kind of do that with this type of keyboard, which is really awesome. And it, again, for really like professional gamers or somebody who's playing a really fast paced game, this is kind of like, I feel like this is like the holy grail of keyboards almost, because you can really fine tune that to how you like, which is awesome. You can also fine tune it as far as like, okay, I want the key to go up so much before it, I can press it back down, right?
Okay.
So you can set that point as well. So it's really intuitive, which I really, really like. You know, and this is designed much like any other high-end keyboard. So we have, it's a 65% keyboard. It's CNC aluminum frame. It's amazing. Double shot PBT keycaps. They have a handful of different colorways. This is the one that I have, and it looks awesome. Mainly white with blue and black accents on the keyboard. But just really, really nice, really minimalistic keyboard as well. Like there's not anything extra or not like a big outer frame or anything like that, which I really like. We can see the switches down in here as well. So these are Arbiter Studios' own magnetic Hall switches. They're a linear switch. They feel really nice. Like I said, they're very customizable as far as you can set everything in their software. Single type C on the top for connectivity. And then the one thing is interesting about this keyboard is there's no adjustment as far as the angle goes, but I do feel it's like at the perfect angle. I really thought it was going to sit too flat, but I feel like it's really, really good and it's really, really comfortable. But overall, like a really well-made keyboard. You know, like you've reviewed mechanical keyboards, like, you know, you pick a keyboard up, it's like nice and heavy and it just feels really good. That's how this keyboard feels. Yeah. The switches in the stabilizers are pre-lubed as well. And it does have a hot swap design. So as you can see, you can pull out the switches and swap them out if you want to. And the stabilizers are screwed into the actual PCB. So they're really stable. The keyboard feels really good overall as well. And they have this really interesting software. So when this keyboard first came out late last year, they didn't have any software. So you had to do everything with like the different functions, and there was really no key remapping, and there's still really no key remapping yet. It's not in the software, but their software is web-based, which is really interesting. So I've never had this. I've had software that like, so this is basically a website, right? So like this is not actually software. It's like you go to their website and it prompts you to like access your keyboard.
Okay. Yeah.
And I've never.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. So then you do all your things and it automatically saves it to the keyboard. You don't have to like some of these that are like this, you make all your changes, then you have to download a firmware and you essentially flash the keyboard. With this, it's instantly changed. So as you can see, you can set your actuation points for each individual switch, and then they have lighting settings currently, but there is no there's no remapping of keys just yet. I assume what that's what this tab is going to be, but that tab is not active currently.
Oh, okay.
So you would have to use third-party software if you wanted to remap anything. This does have RGB lighting as well, and there's a ton of different effects and things like that. It looks pretty good considering the keys are white. There are no see-through legends, but I still think, I mean, it looks pretty good.
It almost looks like pudding type in that yellow shot. It almost looks like
it shines through. It shines through pretty well. So overall, like I said, it's a very customizable and comfortable keyboard. It also sounds so good. We have an audio test in the review. I highly recommend you go listen to it. It sounds really, really good, and it's so comfortable. And like I said, I'm still using it, and I'm really excited to actually like game. I mean, I gamed a little bit with this, but like with you, and you know, we're gonna be playing later, like with like friends. I really want to see how, you know, how I can really put this thing to use. So I'm really excited for that. But it just feels like an awesome keyboard, and I'm really excited for how responsive. You know, when you get like, you've been using like a wired mouse or a crappy mouse, and then you get like that really nice low profile, maybe lightweight mouse, and you just like, you're like, I'm better at games now. Like, that's how I feel with this keyboard. So I'm really excited to try it. But the keyboard itself is $150. I know old man in the chat was talking about wireless. This is wired. No wireless or anything like that. They have a bunch of different colorways as well for $150. So you can see the different colorways. They have two different chassis designs. So they have the silver, which we had, and then there is a black. And they have, you know, some just different colorways that you can get. You can also get a bare bones as well. So there's a bare bones kit that comes with the frame, and then it comes with the switches, and that's $125. So if you wanted to put your own keycaps on here, you can go ahead and do that if you wanted to. But I really like this keyboard. Honestly, really, really surprised. So shout out to Arbiter Studio for that. So check out the review. I'm excited to really like play games with this later. So definitely excited for that. So check it out. Really cool. And I still don't know if I could stick with like for daily use with the 65%.
That's pretty small.
It's small, and like you lose a couple keys that I use on like almost a daily basis, but we'll see. I haven't, like, it's been about a week of just using it, like just using this, not going back to the other keyboard. So we'll see if I keep it or
that's a pretty good time period. Yeah.
Plus I kind of do need to clean the other keyboard, because like it's just, I haven't cleaned it in like a year. So
I was looking at this one the other day, and I'm like, yeah, I probably need to take these keycaps off and
clean it out. Yeah, so you need to do that every once in a while. So
absolutely.
Moving on from that, I took a look at another Gen 4 NVMe SSD. This one comes from Lexar. It's their NM790. We took a look at a drive from Patriot, their VPR 4300 Lite, which is essentially the same drive. Obviously, just different firmware and stuff, but under the hood, they both use the Maxiotech controller, 232 layer TLC NAND from YMTC, and completely DRAMless, which means there's no cache chip. But the performance on this, again, like we're getting to the point with Gen 4 drives that are DRAMless, especially this combination of components here, that gives you a really high performance drive. And because you don't have the cache chip, it saves you some money. So it's going to be pretty affordable as well. So this drive is available up to 4 terabytes. No heat sink on the one that we reviewed, although it doesn't really get all that hot either. But a pretty simple, you know, 2280 drive. They do have a heat sink version if you want to get one for your PlayStation 5. It's compatible, it's fast enough as well. And if you look at the, you know, it's competing with some of the highest end Gen 4 drives that we've tested. I mean, 7100 megabytes a second read, you know, 6600 megabytes a second write. I mean, it is a really, really fast drive. No real issues with this drive at all, which is awesome. And it performed really, really great. I gave it a 10 out of 10. It's just a great, like, any, if you find any drive, if it's this one, if it's the Patriot one, if they're based on the Maxiotech controller with 232 layer TLC NAND, it's going to be a great affordable drive. 2 terabyte, $129.99 currently.
That's so awesome. Like, yeah, what pricing is on these things.
Yeah. And you can get it up to 4 terabytes as well. So if you were thinking about maybe replacing some older drives, you can get up to 4 terabyte and it's pretty affordable there as well. So yeah, shout out to Lexar for that one, because it is pretty awesome there. So yeah, just outfit your whole system with a couple of those, and you'll be good to go. So yeah, we hadn't done a contest since we gave away, was it RTX 4070 away. Yeah, we gave that away right at Christmas time, and then CES happened, and then I made a box of stuff to give away, but this is not in that box because it's not a physical product. But I figured since everybody was talking about this game, I was like, well, we'll give a copy of this game away. So we're giving away a copy of Pal World, which I still have yet to play, but I've heard it's awesome. Either. But yeah, Pal World, everybody's been talking about it. It's basically Pokemon with guns. That's what the gist of it is.
That's what I was here. Yeah.
Yeah. And I every time I like open up TikTok or Instagram, I see videos of this game. So we're giving one away, and this is going to be a really fast contest. As you can see, 7 days. So we're just running this contest for a week, just like all of our other contests. This is just right on. We use Gleam. You fill out the widget, and there's 15 different ways to enter. Super simple. And then whoever wins, I'll just send you the, I'll buy it on Steam for you, or however that goes. So, and this one's worldwide. So a lot of our contests are US only because of shipping. So this is 100% worldwide. So get your entry in, super simple to do. And, and then next week we'll have another contest as well. So we'll be getting back into, at least, you know, every couple of weeks, every month, we'll have a contest giving you guys some stuff. So. Cool. So yeah, so excited for that. Also, I published a video. Like I said, we're doing videos every, like long form videos every week. So I posted a video of the RTX 4080 Super that I reviewed from Asus. And this thing, we talked about it last week, because we talked about the actual, our full in-depth review. But this, it's such a great graphics card. I go over it in pretty big detail here on the, you know, in the full review. I go over everything. So if you want to check that out, it is linked in the show notes. I won't go over it much because we talked about it at length last week. But yeah, just a fun video to make. And we have some more graphics cards coming up. We have some more coming in. So we have some cool stuff coming on YouTube, and a build that I'm be doing on YouTube as well. I don't know when I'm going to get it done. I have all the parts, but it's going to take a while to get all that shot. So we have a really cool
build, huh?
Yeah. So it's,
you haven't told me about this. All right.
Yeah. So, you know, companies are coming out with these interesting motherboards, and we got all this stuff. We got all the stuff to do one of those kind of builds. So I just have to take pictures and shoot all the B roll. It's going to take me a while. Plus we have, I think I have like 6 or 7 launch products in currently that are coming out in the next 2 months. So
you're going to be busy.
Yeah, so I always say this, and this is what happens with reviews on the website, like this little, you know, I always say like, oh, I'm not going to take on too much stuff, and then company be like, hey, we're launching this. Hey, we're launching this. Hey, we're launching this. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, I'll take a couple on, and then I'm like, oh, then like, you know, like the company that really
something
has
even bigger.
The company that has something that's really bigger, like, you know, like if you make a video for like launch, it's going to do so well. So I'm like, yeah, sure. So like I have. You'll see the next couple of months, Ryan. We got a lot of stuff going on. So,
all right.
So we have a lot of videos coming out. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. And of course, we've been doing one short form video per day on all of the platforms as well. So YouTube Shorts,
it's commitment,
Instagram, TikTok. We're putting out a bunch of stuff. We've been cutting up this podcast as well, especially like our question of the week. We've been putting that on social as well. So. I know old man in the chat, he commented on the EPS connector that did, a lot of people were talking about that and commenting on that on social media. So yeah, so doing a lot of stuff, a lot of content, man. It's just it's a year of content for us, I feel. So
yes,
really excited to do all that. Now, talking about awesome builds. Now, if I was to pick a build that I would want, maybe not that I could build, but what I would want, it would be this build. So this is for Case Mod Friday. Of course, this is where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have a Cougar Kratos build by Snef Computer Design. He's one of my favorites, I would say, out there. I love his style. The Cougar Kratos case, which is really, really cool. I don't think this case gets enough You only see crazy builds in this. You don't see like normal builds in this.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad, I'd say. But in any case, this is a white, red, and sort of silver themed build. Really cool lines on this. Like you can see the, you know, the lines here, and then he has these. What do we call these? Like,
I mean, I'm calling it like, I don't know, like
a distro
like bar. It's and the fact that that's one piece there, but it has the lines between like going in and out on the left and right. That's awesome. Yeah. I also love that you can see the fans through that reservoir there. I think that would look really cool if those were like spinning, right? Yeah. If you can see them spinning, I think that would look really cool.
Yeah, but this is a really just sleek. I like just the color matching and like just how everything flows together in this is just awesome. Overall. Yeah. I wonder what block this is that has the temperature in it as well.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but really, really cool build. Here you can see those fans, Ryan, behind there. Yeah. But yeah, old man said in the chat, it's open design. Yeah, really great open design in this. And it just, Snefst always does a really great job. Some things you don't see too is there's like a distro plate down here at the bottom. And then again, those ones,
I knew those were those Inwin fans. Like I was looking at them, like those are what I have, except I have the black version. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. I have the same thing, but black.
But yeah, that's just, I don't know. I really like the, his style. I'm just like looking in awe of this. I really didn't like when I posted this, I didn't really get to like look in the fine detail at all of this, but it just looks,
looks I really awesome. Like those, custom like we called them like distribution whatever we're calling them lines or whatever, it's very cool. And I think he's got access to the tools and design like software and everything to create them, and it really makes his builds stick out because do this with just normal runs and it'd still look great, but this just adds that uniqueness to the build.
And he was one of the first to do this custom. We've seen custom reservoirs like in the side mount and stuff and in the front of the case, but he was one of the first to like make it part of like the side panel, right? Like a custom designed reservoir that actually acts almost as if it's the side window. He was one of the first to do it maybe a couple years ago, and he's continued to do it and just looks awesome. So check out this build. Of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. But again, big shout out to Snef Computer Design for that awesome build. And we'll move on to news. And we talked about this, and you were saying, you said, I think you're to quote Ryan, he goes, I'm sick of this. I don't want to see another 30 series card come out. And I agree with you. So NVIDIA did launch a 3050 6 GB. I think like the day after we talked about like the leak came out, and then I think it came out the next day.
Official.
Yeah. The following day it was official. NVIDIA didn't really say much about it. They kind of just put it out there. And you would think, like we've talked about this with NVIDIA before, you would think the difference between the original card and the 6 GB card would just be moved down to 6 GB.
Right. You would think.
But they cut the CPU down as well. So people have done some tests. It's about 20% slower. This is really meant to be that entry-level graphics card going to compete with the Intel Arc card. So if you're looking for like just to get you by sort of entry-level, very like Fortnite type games at 1080p low settings, like this is kind of going to be what
I would have been perfectly happy if they called this like the RTX 3045, right?
Yeah,
do something like that, since you're it, otherwise there's room for confusion, but yeah, give it a 5 less on your number and I have no problem with this.
Yeah, it's going to be 179. So again, not a crazy expensive graphics card. I don't think there's a
Founders Edition.
I don't think there's a Founders Edition. So you'll have to buy these from all your, you know, all the third parties. But yeah, so that was the NVIDIA, I guess you would call it, announcement. I'm not really A lot of people, nobody's really that excited about that. But something that I did see that I was like, they should have done this from the beginning. Of course, we saw it at CES, not last year, but the year before. We saw the, it was the first time Ryan and I got our hands on the Asus Noctua RTX 40 series card. It's big, it's thick. We talked about it last week because for the 4080 Super, they came out with one as well. Right. But then I saw this picture show up on Twitter, which I'll show you guys. And I saw this picture and I was like, they made a Chromax Black version. That's like we've been wanting, you know, because with the with Noctua, there's two camps. There's the people that love the They love the Noctua brown.
The brown and tan, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's the people that absolutely hate it. And they're like, the only way I'm buying Noctua if it's the Chromax Black. So I saw this picture and I was like, oh, wow, they made one. And then I saw the headline, which was Matt Lee, who's like a really well-known modder. He went and made his own. So he replaced the fans with Noctua's, you know, own Chromax fans and put some accents on the card so it's not that color. And this is what he came up with. And I have to say that, you know, it does look quite
looks pretty good.
And it looks like a really, really nice card. I think I kind of expected Noctua, maybe with like the Supers, to come out with the Chromax Black, because when like on all the boxes, it says like 4080, the Super is silver, which would have kind of matched kind of like the Chromax Black look. So I thought they would have done that. But I mean, shout out to, like I said, shout out to Matt Lee for this, because I think it looks cool. Maybe 5000 series, maybe we'll see a Chromax Black version of the card. Because I think a lot of people would appreciate the card. If you know, they have the four slots, they're not worried about putting anything else in their system, and they want like that really awesome cooling. And they are Noctua fans, but they just don't like the brown. The Chromax Black would give them a reason to actually invest in that graphics card. So
for sure.
But yeah, cool. So yeah, be interesting to see what build he puts us in too, because Matt Lee does a bunch of builds, so we'll see if what he puts that in. So yeah. Moving on from that, there was another interesting mod on a 30 series card. Somebody was able to mod it to support 12 gigabytes of memory. So a really cool video. It's not in English. But if you want to watch it, we do have it linked. Always cool to see these where people like actually rip down the PCB and take off the memory chips themselves and flash BIOSes solder stuff on it. Really, really interesting to see. Like I said, check out the video if you want to check it out. We're not going to talk about it that much.
They're using an AMD heatsink, like a heatsink on there to keep it cool.
That heatsink is actually the OG Wraith
yeah.
is really, really good, but it's super loud. It is
very
super,
loud. I have one.
Super loud. Yeah. Especially like if you were you're overclocking and putting full load on the CPU, this thing sounds so loud.
I think it came with like the 3800X I bought. I don't think it came with the 1800X. I don't remember when it came out, but yeah, I've got one. And yes, it was very loud.
Yeah, it's very, very loud. But yeah, it is kind of funny that they're using that to cool the GPU off. But moving on from that, one of the more interesting stories this week is we have some new details on AMD's upcoming 870E chipset and Ryzen 9000 chips. So if you're wondering, wait a minute, Ryzen 7000 just came out. Why are we skipping 9000? It's because with Ryzen, if you guys don't know, you know, we had Ryzen 3000, then we had Ryzen 5000, Ryzen 7. So they skip the middle. They skip the, for their desktop processors, they skip because
even.
Yeah, because the even numbers are for the APUs. So that's how they change those up. So we are gonna have an 870, because I always want to say like X, I just always want to say the Intel one or whatever, but so we're gonna have an X870E chipset. And we have some details on it. And one of the big details is that all motherboard manufacturers will be required to include USB 4 connectivity on these boards. That's basically 40 gigabits per second speeds, more or less Thunderbolt 3. But it's going to be required on every board, which means it's going to be built into the chipset itself. You know, so that makes the... You remember how X670E had two chips, like two big chips? Mm-hmm. Now it's going to have three.
Three. Huh? All right.
Yeah, so it's going to have three. And it would be kind of interesting if... this requirement of USB 4 is only going to be on X870E, and then there'll be X870, right. And then as it goes down, will USB 4 be across the line? Will it get cut after the E? Like, how is that going to kind of go through? You know what I mean?
I bet you'll see, like, it's a requirement on X870E, and then... it's obviously available to like X870, but not required. But you'll see like the higher end X870 boards include one or something. And then you probably won't see it on like a B, whatever that's going to be, a B850, right? That's what I would guess.
Yeah. So that's kind of the big change that you will see as like part of the actual chipset for Ryzen 9000. I know old man in the chat said, AMD just wants to say it's over 9,000 on their next. They have to include that in their
market. Yeah, if they don't, like.
Yeah, they have to
include at least that on social media somewhere, right?
Yeah, for sure. In their marketing material, they have to, you know, say it's over 9,000. So this is their Granite Ridge chip design. It's going to be very much the same as Ryzen 7000 as far as the chip design goes. You're going to get new 4-nanometer Zen 5 CCDs and an updated memory controller. So like the really, you know, the really sweet spot will be it's 5600 right now on Ryzen 7000. It's going to be DDR5 6400 with Expo profiles up to 8000 megahertz. So nice little bump there that you're going to get as well. That's kind of all we know, but again, it's going to be the same socket. So these new 9000 series chips will work all the way down to, you know, X670. So any AM5 boards with a proper BIOS update will support the new chips, which is good because I don't like, you know, every launch you have to buy a new board or whatever if you want to update your CPU and all that kind of stuff. And then you have to worry about compatibility with CPU coolers and all that kind of stuff. Yep. So it is nice that you will see that. AMD is expected to show off their 800 series motherboards at Computex, which happens in June. And probably, you know, you get a preview at Computex in June, full launch towards the end of the year, which kind of makes sense, you know, right for holiday season time. Maybe if it does get delayed, launch at CES time. That's kind of the timeline for this. Anything that you are looking forward to with either the chipset or with Ryzen 9000 series?
I'd be curious to see if we get like an X3D part maybe at launch, right? We've seen the like 5800X 3D and 7800X 3D later on, a bit delayed, right, in the series. And I think it'd be cool if we got that part up front.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either, but I it would be cool to me if they did
something. I think like that. That's their like kind of ace in the hole when it comes to marketing. Because that chip's already ready. Like that chip's ready, right?
The thing is
that they launch, right? And then 2 months later, a month later, Intel launches. Got
something, yep.
And Intel's highest end part, Intel's like, this is the best gaming.
This is the world's fastest. Yes.
Yeah, this is the best gaming CPU, right? Because it beats AMD by a little bit in all the gaming benchmarks. Then, you know, a couple weeks, month later, then AMD comes out with the X3D part. And it's like, well, we have the 3D V-Cache on here, so we get a little bit more performance in gaming. Now this is the fastest gaming processor. Right. And then they'll hold that title for another 3 months until I think that's, you know. But yeah, no, it would be nice to get. And like they even staggered the initial launch as well. So you typically don't get a whole lineup anymore. Like at launch, you get like the three main parts and then things kind of come out after that. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably like the main piece. I don't think we're going to see anything crazy otherwise, right, we're not getting DDR6, you know, or anything like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the big things on motherboards, obviously USB 4. I mean, right. Technically, some older boards have technically USB 4 because they have Thunderbolt 4 on them, but it's not highly supported. Even newer boards that had technically USB 4, like the drivers weren't done yet. When the boards came out. So it'll be nice to have like that unified connection, right? That it just works. It's, you don't have to install anything extra. It's just there. And I think when that happens, when these new chipsets come out and new chips come out, like we'll see a higher adoption of super fast storage. We did see some USB 4 drives at CES, but again, the adoption rate's really low because there's not a whole lot of things that support them right now. But once that happens, we'll see a whole bunch of more super fast storage
too. Well, I guess also like Project Zero, right, backside of the motherboard, I think we'll see a lot more of that on this series as well, maybe, because it's a chance for them to deploy that with a new lineup of boards.
And we'll also see faster networking, I think, too. Both
like 2.5 be the standard now, the lowest standard maybe.
I think that is the lowest standard now.
It might be.
If I'm not mistaken, it's in both chipsets by default.
Okay.
Unless somebody takes that out to add something, there were some boards that like didn't even give you it, but like it's in the chipset, so like you should have got it. There's some boards that were like that, I think you're definitely going to see Wi-Fi 7. We even saw Wi-Fi 7 added into a bunch of like the refresh boards that we saw already. So you'll see some of that. I mean, what else would be added to the boards? I think if anything, you're going to see like more M dot. I mean, we're already at like four slots. I feel like four M.2s.
Four is pretty good, especially when like you're talking, you get a 2 terabyte drive from Lexar for $130. Like,
I think it's going to be more or less the same with USB 4 and faster networking. I don't see anything else crazy coming out that you're like, whoa, like this technology is, you know, crazy. So pretty cool to see. I'm excited. I'm a big motherboard guy, if you guys don't know. It's one of my favorite things to review. I love motherboards. So I'm pretty excited to see kind of the next gen of motherboards come out. Talking about overclocking. SaveDisk set the DDR5 overclocking record recently, over 10,000 megahertz a second. So they took a set of 7,800 megahertz G-skill, and they overclocked it all the way up to 10,600.
Good Lord.
Megahertz, which is wild, which is crazy. On an APU, too.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so it wasn't even the newest motherboards, the Asus ROG Crosshair X670E Gene motherboard. So,
got that PS2 mouse or keyboard in there,
yeah, right. Like I said, I always like seeing overclocking stuff, pushing things kind of to the limit. So, it was pretty cool to see.
And it's on memory, it was on memory that's got RGBs too, right? Like, a lot of times they'll take some of that stuff off,
yeah.
And it's kind of cool that they didn't have to do that there.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. Talking about some really interesting story that I saw this pop up on Twitter, and I had to see what this was. So back in the day, if you were going to buy like a little, we used to have 5 1/4 inch drive bays. And for those who don't know, like your CD-ROM and stuff. And all of us, wouldn't even call us modders, but all of us enthusiasts, instead of putting a CD-ROM in there, you put like a fan controller or you could get a little screen like that would like
a VanTech or some of those other brands. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And what's one of those big brands? I mean, what were they? The one big brand that everybody knew for the screen was Lamptron. One of those. And they I believe we reviewed some of their stuff way back in the day. Right. And they always had these really cool screens that would go in the front of your system. And obviously, and they had fan controllers and like the little switches that you would switch on for your fans and really cool stuff. And they kind of just didn't make anything for like a long time. And then I saw this picture on Twitter or X of a new CPU cooler. And it kind of looks like a monstrosity. I mean, if you look at it. So Lamptron has come out with a CPU cooler, which is obviously not really what they do. What they really do is the screens, but it's a dual tower, dual fan CPU cooler with a six inch 1080p screen on it.
All right.
For $300.
I mean, it's I mean, it's no different than like we've got screens on our liquid coolers, right? We've got the really large screen that we've seen on the height, thick, right? The thick, what is it? The thick 30 thick
Q60.
Yeah. So it's no different than that. It's just funny to see.
Yeah. So it's,
I don't know about the three little nubs there protruding. Yeah. If they could have done something about that, but
yeah, I mean, I assume you have to take this off to mount it, right? So I guess those are what that is. 1080p screen. There's this software that's going to run this screen, right? Will be compatible with Ada 64, and they do provide a copy or a license, because to get the stats to pop out, like, you need to buy the software.
Yeah.
So
you gotta buy a higher license version.
Yeah. So they provide the license, which is nice. There's like this version, and then there's the RGB version, both of the same price. I mean, the cooler looks like a pretty beefy cooler. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it looks very big.
It looks like a big cooler. It looks like it's probably hanging
over your memory on that.
Yeah, it just looks like a monstro. Like, I don't know. But who knows? I'd like to see, like, obviously this is like a render. I would really like to see what this actually looks like in usage, you know?
I mean, 1080 in a screen that small should look pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to look pretty. And it's like, it's a screen. So it's like another monitor. It's like a 1080p monitor. So you can do a lot more. You can do this, obviously, show stats, but like, I mean, you could run a game on it.
Mirror your desktop on it.
Yeah, you can mirror your desktop. Like, you could do kind of whatever you'd like to do with it. They provide all the cables to get it connected. But I mean,
you build this into like a little mini LAN rig and use that as your screen.
Yeah. Throw this on, like, you know, those like open air. Do one of those with this as your screen. Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
That's funny.
But yeah, kind of interesting. It's cool to see Lamptron come back. They were actually one of my favorite companies back in the day because they just had like really cool and unique products.
I don't think I ever looked at any of their stuff.
Okay,
back in the day.
I mean, it's way back in the day. So we'll see if maybe I'll try to get one. I'll shoot them an email. So get this thing into review, see what it's all about. Even though, like I said, I have a million things into review right now, but it is kind of interesting. Yeah. And it brings back the nostalgia. Like, you just see the Lamptron logo, you're like, oh man, those were the days.
Yeah, Vantech was the one that I was always.
Yeah.
They made a lot of the fan coolers and stuff.
Yeah.
Thermaltake used to make a bunch of them that fit in those drive bays.
Yeah. And then you had all the icy docks too with the hot swap. Yeah. Yep. A bunch of those. Yep. So, old man in chat says Lamptron. It's free real estate, meaning like the area that is on top of the CPU. Yeah, pretty cool. Talking about upcoming drives, this was leaked. I guess Crucial's coming out with a new Gen 5 NVMe SSD, their T705, 14.5 gigabytes a second read. So I assume this is going to be the Phison E26 maximum that we actually reviewed. We reviewed their kind of test drive, same type of thing.
It's just been tweaked.
The interesting thing about this though,
that
looks super cool. But just like when we did review their Gen 5 drive, I mean, this kind of just barely cuts it, and you really need some active cooling kind of going over this to really keep the temperatures in check. So it will be interesting to see if that's the case here. But yeah, that white one, limited edition.
Looks pretty nice.
White, this, the white build, whoo, gonna look good. But yeah, pretty cool to see. No, this was leaked, so we don't know when this is coming out, but it should be coming out. And again, up to 4 terabytes. I really hope 4 terabyte catches on as like the default, but we have a little while to go for that just because of pricing. But that would be pretty nice.
A nice spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is something I really like, and I hopefully we see more devices like this. And I think, doesn't the new, what phone just came out? The S24? Yeah. Doesn't the S24 support MagSafe as well?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it does. And I really like that it's becoming like more than just an Apple standard too, because you're going to see more devices. And everybody knows MagSafe for like charging and stuff. But especially with like the iPhone 15 Pro and the Pro Max, you can shoot in Apple RAW, which is like their high-end codec. And it's very, like, it's great, but the file sizes are massive. So the only way to shoot in that format is to have an external hard drive. And because finally the iPhone got a Type-C, you could connect an internal SSD, and people were making like little rigs to like have an SSD in like a little cage. And there's a couple companies that actually make them for, you know, just like your normal little SSD like this that you would write to, right?
Right, right.
Well, Team Group has come up with their portable SSD that's MagSafe. So it just attaches, you know.
Snaps right up to it.
Yeah, right onto the back of the drive. Now, it's not like the Lenovo stuff that we saw that's just like automatically connecting. It's still going to come with like,
a
Type-C cable, but it's a flat cable, which was like the biggest thing that people were like, really, you couldn't find like these flat cables, and the ones that you could find on Amazon like weren't fat, like they were just like cheaply made. You never get like a cheaply made data cable.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully this solves the problem. But yeah, so this really makes it so you don't need to have that cage. It just attaches right to the back of the phone, which is really awesome. And it makes it, yeah, just a great little content creating machine. So I really like that. I think it's cool. I don't know if there's, we don't have pricing on this yet, but yeah, I really like it. And I think that, again, if I'm not an Android person, so I'm not really sure, but I'm pretty sure like the S24 has like MagSafe as well. So this could be used for that as well.
Yeah. I was looking at a case the other day that had like in the case itself had the MagSafe section, right? So you could put it onto one of those chargers and utilize it that way as well. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. So really, really cool to see that from Team Group. And then finally, MSI has introduced an OLED warranty, so a burn-in warranty. So one of the biggest things with all these new OLEDs, we saw a million OLEDs at CES. Yeah. That's kind of like going to be the big thing this year. There's burn-in, and it just happens. It's part of the tech. It's been part of the tech for like when OLED TVs came out, right? So they have a 3-year burn-in OLED warranty, which is really good to see. And I believe Asus followed suit right after MSI announced this as well. So really good to see companies kind of doing this and kind of giving you the peace of mind when you're buying an expense, something that you know is going to last you a long time, but it's also going to, you know, OLEDs, while the prices have been coming down, they're still, I mean, it's still like buying any big monitor, especially if you're getting like either a super fast like FPS monitor or like a larger format monitor, like they're not cheap. It's kind of like an investment. Like I'm going to have this for five to 10 years in some cases, right? So you want to kind of protect your investment. So they have a 3-year burn-in OLED warranty. And then here's all the models that they're currently being supported. So yeah, and this is on top of like their normal display warranty as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, good to see. And I think more companies will follow suit with this too, just, you know, for competition, but just gives you peace of mind, because that's the biggest thing. And I always feel like if I ever got an OLED, like I just like leave the screen on all the time. Like I, you know, and I'm just like,
it looks so good.
Yeah, and I don't turn it off sometimes, and it's just So hopefully that's not the, you know, we don't, I don't know if I ever get.
Yeah, I did notice that. It's funny, like when we were at CES, like your screen was always on.
Yeah.
Like you just, it's just always on.
It's just a bad habit. I do turn my computer off at night, but sometimes I'll like, it's like last night, I like went to like a dinner party, like with a bunch of people, and I left and I had my monitor on, and then I got back late. And I was like, I was just being lazy, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to go to bed. And then I woke up, you know, the screen's on.
It's still on, so. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, if it was an OLED, that could be an issue, so.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of the OLEDs, like, they have all this, like, safety kind of, especially I think the Asus ones have, like, and I think the Aorus ones, too.
Yeah, I mean,
they all do, where it's, like it will, like, turn off or, like, refresh the screen or, like, do all this stuff to keep the protect display itself, from, protect itself, so. But yeah, good to see that there from MSI. Coming up next week, I have a really interesting case that I'm going to be taking a look at. This is from Montec, and this is their King 95, and it is pretty interesting. Much like a Lianli O11 Dynamic, but you have a curved front, very affordable case too. I have the white version. Looks pretty awesome so far. I haven't built it in yet, but I'll be doing that, I think, tomorrow. So I'll be having that for you next week. Also, I'm taking a look at actually, I have it. It's right here. It's the Patriot Supersonic Rage. What is this? Okay. Rage Prime. It's a flash drive, but it's USB 3.2 Gen 2. So decently fast. And it's 1 terabyte. I mean, like 1 terabyte. It's so small.
That used to be an 8 gigabyte drive, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so small. And the cool thing about this is that I have 2 of them. So we're going to be giving one away after the review. So definitely stay tuned from that. And what else do I have? Oh, new keyboard. Also, there's a new keyboard that's launching next week, I believe on Wednesday, which is, I think, on... on Valentine's Day, February 14th.
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, so there's a new keyboard launching. And then Ryan is taking a look at an Asa AIO. Let me bring it up here. The Asa Cube 360. Right here. Which looks like the block is like really big.
It's decent sized, yeah.
Yeah, so Ryan will be taking a look at
that. It's a neat look, though, like that corner there. That's kind of like that triangle lighting look is kind of cool.
Yeah, so Ryan will have that. So we have a lot of stuff coming up, like I said, a lot of cool things in the kind of works, and I'm really excited for. So, I have so much stuff here, guys. You have no idea. Like, my living room is full of boxes. So lots of cool stuff coming up. We've been doing a question of the week. Basically where we pull questions from YouTube, and I get this question a lot on YouTube because we do a lot of cooler reviews. And one of the biggest questions that I get with these cooler reviews is, will such and such processor work with this CPU cooler? You know, will my i7 14600K work with this CPU cooler? Like, I get this question a lot. And it's pretty easy to find out. There's a couple reasons why people ask that. One, they ask for compatibility, but they also ask, you know, is this cooler going to be good for the level of processor that I have? Right. And the easy way to find these things out is, one, we'll bring up Be Quiet, and we'll bring up their website. And you know, when you have a CPU, it goes in a specific socket, right? And you can find that out from your motherboard or whatever it may be. Let's go here and let's bring up their new DarkRock coolers. So here's their DarkRock Pro 5. And on every CPU listing, for the most part, you can go down to technical data or their specifications or whatever it may be, and see right here, let me make this bigger for you guys, it says socket compatibility, right? So this is going to show you what sockets it's compatible with on the Intel side. So we see 1700, 1200, 1150, 1151, 1155, and socket compatibility on AMD. So you'll see those. So if you're not sure... Also,
one thing to note on Intel, sometimes you'll see those 1150 series as just 115X. And that just means yes. It's zero, the 50, 51, and 55. So.
Yes. Yes. And if you're not sure, you can always just like look up the model of your motherboard and just like what socket it is, right? Whatever. And then you'll be able to find that very easily. Now, that tells you about if it's socket compatible, but what about performance, right? Like, is this cooler that we're looking at, which is again the DarkRock Pro 5, can it handle you know, the latest Intel processor, which would be like the 14900K? Most companies should list a TDP wattage rating on their specs. So here you can see it here. It's 270 watts. So you can go to, you know, you can type in i9-14900K and you can go to the actual Intel website and you can see maximum turbo power is 253 watts, which obviously is lower than the 270 watts that the DarkRock Pro 5 is rated for. And now you can see, okay, this at maximum turbo power, you know, whenever your system boosts, it can pull to, you know, it's going to be 253 watts and this can handle it. So you're good to go. That's kind of how you figure it out. Now, obviously this 253 does not include overclocking. So that's definitely something you want to keep in mind. I think if you are doing a full-time overclock, you just want to test it. But beyond that, that's kind of how you figure out, you know, is this CPU cooler compatible with my current CPU or the CPU that I want to get? And, you know, will it actually be a good cooler for the CPU that I have? That's kind of how you figure it out. At the end of the day, too, you know, just check reviews if you want to check performance. You know, you check our reviews, check, you know, we give you an idea of, you know, what's the best, what's the worst, and what, you know, what we kind of suggest that specific cooler is for. So that kind of, you know, tells you kind of how to.
I would add is like this TDP here, this 270 watts, like that's not in silent mode either. Like you're going to need your fans spinning pretty good in order to support that much heat going into the heat sink in order to keep it cool. So don't expect to run your fans in silent mode with your CPU overclocked. Number one, it's not going to like keep those frequencies and speeds when it starts getting hot anyways, but just keep that in mind that that's also dependent on your fan speed. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. The 270 watts is the maximum cooling power. So that's, you know, and I believe that's at normal operation, right? So that's at all the fans on all the coolers are PWM. So that's based on PWM. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of how you do it. We get that question so much on YouTube is, oh, well, is this a good cooler for my i5 or, you know, is this good cooler for my Ryzen 3 and Ryzen 5? And it's really easy to kind of figure this out. So we wanted to tell you guys about that. Yeah, that's basically it for the podcast this week. Anything else you wanted to add, Ryan?
I don't think so. No, I'm thinking about tech-related stuff that I've done. I looked at a new laptop for work that I just did a quick little video of on that I put together. Just like cool, you know, this laptop had 4 Thunderbolt 4 ports on it, you know, and it's a 13 i7-13800H CPU, 512 gigs of storage on a, you know, NVMe drive, 32 gigs of RAM, little 14-inch.
It is kind of crazy how how the fast connectivity and storage is becoming like just normal now. Cause I remember I got my first laptop with like a Thunderbolt 4 on it. And I was like, oh, like I have fast storage on my laptop now. Like, you know, fast portable storage, like, cause I love, you know, my fast drives and stuff. And I was just like, now it's just like, it's on every laptop now for the most part, you know? And it's just, if you're not getting Thunderbolt 4, you're getting USB 3.2 Gen 2, if not Gen 2x2. So you're just getting all this super fast storage, which is awesome. Or just like connectivity. If it's Thunderbolt 4, you get power delivery. You're getting DisplayPort,
yep.
Display connectivity out of that. You're getting daisy chaining out of that. Like, it's just crazy that is just like on pretty much every like mainstream laptop now, which is awesome. Yeah. Old man in the chat says, thinking about getting the 8-bit retro mechanical keyboard. What is that?
Kind of looked like I looked at it real quick. It's like almost looks like an NES controller is what it reminded me of, the color scheme.
Let's see here. Oh, I have seen this. I've seen this on Instagram. This does look cool. That is pretty cool. I saw some really cool keyboards. My Instagram feed has been like a lot of keyboard stuff. And it's just like, I already have so many awesome keyboards. I can't imagine.
You do have a lot of good ones.
Yeah. I know some people that have who do keyboard Instagram stuff, and they have so many keyboards. It's like, and I thought about like trying to display them on the wall, and it's just like, I don't know. But yeah, that is a really cool looking keyboard. How much is it? It's on Amazon. $100
$100? That's not bad. Yeah, that's not bad.
Mechanical? Yeah, it's mechanical.
And what is the dual super program? So there's just like big buttons you can program to do something?
Yeah, I assume so. That's cool that it comes with a controller though as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. Aluminum plate.
I like those dials up top too, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Maybe I'll email them and get another key. I already have like a ton of keywords still in review as well. But yeah, pretty cool.
Send it to me.
Yeah. But yeah. That is pretty much it for the podcast, guys. Of course, we're going to be streaming some gaming. Of course, I'll be testing out.
We got to talk about the Chiefs
going back to the
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl is...
Do you have any like plans for it or anything?
Yeah, my friends had a party last year. We're doing the same thing. I'll be making my famous wings. They're famous. Everybody likes them. So they're good. But the funny thing is like I make them in the air fryer, and I can only do like so many at a time. So I have to do them in like batches, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's saying that it's rigged. It's rigged, you know?
Well, that's what they were saying when the logo was the colors of San Francisco and Baltimore, saying, and then that blew up, and now it's
I saw this.
Taylor and it's...
Yeah, I saw this TikTok that was like, what's going to happen is they're going to win, and then Kelsey's going to propose on the 50-yard line.
No, he's not.
And that'd like, be so like, wild. It, like he, this guy was like... You know, they had like the moody sound in the background of the TikTok, and he's like, it's all been set up. He's like, I read the script.
Okay.
No, I think it's going to be a good game. I honestly really do like Mahomes. I think he's a great, he's a really great player. Yeah. And I think he's like a cool dude. He's like a funny guy.
Yeah.
So it's good to see him back. And I think that, you know, now that Brady's gone, like he's like the guy. I think.
Right. Right.
You know,
It'll be, I don't know. I'm excited.
It's in Vegas too, which is crazy.
No, that,
yeah.
That like the tickets, I looked at tickets like right after they won the game, and you know, like I think the minimum when I was looking was like $8,000. And then where I had sat last year at CES, when I went and saw the Chiefs play the Raiders, the seat that I had, it was like $16,000 at the time.
I saw some things too where it's like $1 million for like 50-yard line center.
It's
or something, yeah, just... something crazy. But Usher at the halftime, which would be kind of cool.
If Lil Jon shows up, right? If they, you know,
I think
that'd be all right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm excited for some commercials, but they were like kind of bad. I didn't really.
And I've been seeing like stuff online. They're like, check out the new Super Bowl commercial for this and that. And I'm like, well, it's not the Super Bowl commercial if you're already showing it. Like,
yeah,
I don't care. It was the first year though that like, what was it? Like Pepsi and Coke aren't doing a commercial or something I saw.
I think there's going to be
something like that.
I think there's going to be like a tick. I assume there'll be like a TikTok commercial. Remember all the TikTok like branding we saw in Vegas? Remember? It was all over it was like everywhere.
Yeah. TikTok shop and stuff was.
Yeah. Like a lot of this.
Like last year, last year's Super Bowl was where we really saw Temu come out as well.
Yeah. I feel like. I don't think I wouldn't be surprised by any of the, like, there's not something I want to be like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, they got these people to do that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you see a commercial with like somebody who's like super famous and
last person you'd think to be in a commercial. Who knows?
Yeah. So not, yeah, but I'm actually excited for the game. I think the Chiefs will probably win. I really haven't watched much football this year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't feel, I don't know. I don't feel like the Chiefs are as good of a team as when they won last time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I can agree with that.
Yeah. So, but I don't know how good I've never watched the 49ers.
I haven't watched it. That's the thing is didn't watch any 49ers ball at all this year. I just know their defense is great. So we'll just see how it goes.
And there was another conspiracy that, because they played the Lions, the Detroit Lions, and the NFL didn't want Detroit in the Super Bowl because of bad market. So that, and if you look at the plays, like you see like Detroit like making these mistakes that like they shouldn't have made, like dropping a pass and all this stuff.
That's the thing is like you gotta have all these guys in on it. You know what I mean? It's just
there was and I saw another one that's just like they're just athletic actors.
Oh my gosh. No.
Like, you know, you watch one and then like the next one comes up and the next one comes up and you're just like down this, and I guess you would call it a rabbit hole. It's just kind of, it's really interesting to see. But yeah, no, I think it'd be a good game. And it will be kind of cool to see some of the tech Oh, you know what something we didn't talk about that just came out was the Vision Pro. The Apple Vision Pro.
I watched some of MKBHD's like using it video last night, and I thought that was like, I couldn't care less. And then I saw the thumbnail and I was like, all right, I'll like skim through this. And I sat there and watched most of it. And I was like, okay, that is pretty neat. Some of these things.
I think, okay, so obviously VR, AR has been around, right, for a while. So, you know, but I think if anybody was to make it more mainstream and
absolutely
get the functionality correct, right? They control the ecosystem, right, as far as the apps and things like that. So they can really control how it is. And from what I've seen, it seems pretty seamless as far as setting things up and like, and I haven't watched hardly anything, but I think it's really cool. We've talked about this before. Like, it took me forever to even get one of these, you know, like I'm not huge on wearable tech. I do like the idea of like screens. I want all the screens, you know.
It was cool.
Yeah, I do like that. I even as like a tech enthusiast, it's way out of my price range for something that I would I could see it being crazy productive. I could see it. There's a lot of things. I mean, some guy he was like at the gym with it on and he's like, "Yeah, he's like I'm watching a movie while I'm doing this. I'm doing, you know what I mean?" It's like you know, it's going to be cool. I think, you know, again, you'll see more investment in that type of space because Apple is doing it now, you know, just like anything like, you know, just like with the phones, like the Type C, it's like people are acting like it's a massive deal. Like it's been on Android phones forever.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? But it's because Apple finally did it. It's this big thing. Yeah. It's just how it is. Old man in the chat said, Linus talked about someone using the Vision Pro as an overlay to learn piano. And I think that's the interesting thing too, is like, we have seen AR stuff, but I think there's a lot of just like that, like learning piano or doing other things. It's very functional because it's AR.
And the pass through is very like quick because he was playing ping pong via pass through and like able to play ping pong with no problem. Like
imagine
it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Imagine it's we're not there yet, but like, you know, it's reading and it will
tell you where the ball's going to go or something.
So like, you know, you ever see like, you ever play like any of like way back in the day, like the pool, like you play in like pool.
Yeah. And it puts the line.
It puts the line. So like, imagine you're playing ping pong or whatever. And it like it in real time, it's analyzing where that person's hitting it, you know, and it's going to tell you where the ball's going to go or something like that. Obviously,
and where your opponent's at. So like, hit it in this area and they have the least chance to hit it.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of serve. pretty interesting applications for it. It's cool to see, and it is really cool to see like normal people be excited about tech, right? Because when was the last really big product that everybody was like,
I mean, the iPhone, right?
Yeah, I guess the iPhone, but like, yeah. And there have been a few other things, but I feel like a lot of like, I see people like talking about it and people like posting on their story of like actors and like people who aren't in the tech scene talking about it and using it. So that's cool to see. It's been a while, I think, since we've seen something like that. So like I said, I'm definitely not getting one. Unless Apple sends me one, which is, it's not going to happen. So, I don't know any friends that have it either. But yeah. I mean, if I was like at an Apple store, I'd probably give it a go, like check it out.
Oh yeah, of course.
But yeah, Shinny's here and he said Oculus Rift was pretty big. I think when the VR first, like the first gen of the VRs, that was pretty big deal when it first came out or was first announced as well. So. But yeah, guys, we're going to end it here. Of course, thanks everybody for coming out. Old man, of course, Shinny in the chat, Corey in the chat, and everybody else who's, of course, listening later. We definitely appreciate you. We are going to jump over to Twitch and get some gaming on. So it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We will be over there. Really excited to really get into this keyboard and mash some keys and see what it's all about. So I'll be doing that. So we'll see everybody next week.